Welcome back. It's Chops and Ty with you once again here on Sports Relative, home of the Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And ladies and gentlemen, I promise you'll want to stick around for this week's show as we are debuting a couple new segments that Chops and I are sure you listeners will get a kick out of.
Let's get it.
First off, we're just going to be talking about 49ers game against the Cardinals. We'll be coming at you with that and Raiders talk. So that's what we're going to start you out with today. Unfortunately, we love to start off with your A's baseball, get you the A's baseball feed. But as you all know, Tigers in five.
Verlander in five. That's what I said last year. It sounds eerie familiar.
It's a sick thing to hear.
It sickens me.
It's just disgusting.
You know, I don't even know if I'm really over it yet. Like,
no, neither am I.
We were talking, and to think that I don't even want to watch the playoffs right now, I'm just basically getting score updates so I stay in the loop.
Yeah. But
watching the games is just, it's horrible for me, especially the ALCS, because I'm like, the A's could have been there.
Why couldn't they be taking the place?
I know.
Detroit Tigers, even though I will give the credit to Detroit, they're playing Boston tough.
Yeah.
Not just getting rolled over. But yeah, nonetheless, wish the A's were in there. No doubt.
Well, let's get into some Niner talk since you promised listeners some Niner talk.
All right, Niner talk. Niners get the victory, 32-20 over the Cardinals. We'll give you a little recap of this and then hit you with the box score stats and the numbers from everyone on the Niners squad. But it started out with two picks early by Eric Reed and Carlos Rogers. Reed brought the first one back to the Cardinals 7. Rogers brought the second one back to the Cards 11-yard line, and they can't score. Both times, field goals.
They've been having some red zone problems, to say the least.
That comes back to bite.
And that's what's going to happen when you don't have an established passing game yet, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially with no red zone threat. Granted, we had Vernon score 2 TDs, all coming from outside the red zone, but if the run game's getting stuffed, you have no one really outside besides Bolden.
I got a question for you since you're a big Niner fan here.
All right.
Have you heard the trade rumors swirling around the Niners?
I've heard.
What do you think about that? Mainly the wide receiver ones.
Gordon and Nix?
Yeah, Gordon or Nix. Yeah.
I'd be down for either or. I don't have a feeling the Browns will give up Josh Gordon for a little price.
They're staying in the hunt, too,
yeah.
So they don't really want to give up him for nothing, basically. You're going to have to give up a lot.
Yeah. And
more than at least one draft pick.
Definitely, and that's what they're looking for. Hakeem Nicks, however, could show some rejuvenance in San Francisco with alongside previous teammate Mario Manningham. We'll see how much the Giants want for that trade if it were to go down, but I wouldn't mind to see Hakeem Nicks. I don't know if it will happen now that Manningham is practicing.
Yeah.
But I would not mind seeing Hakeem Nicks in a Niner uniform at all.
I think even when Manningham comes back, the Niners are going to need another wide receiver. Because we're still waiting for Crabtree. And then you got Bolden, who's really only had 2 good games. He's been shut down the rest of them, the other 4.
Teams have figured out.
Yeah.
Stop Bolden.
And yet the Niners don't have any real deep presence, deep down the field wide receiver. I mean, Nicks isn't really that guy either, but at least he's an established pass catcher.
Stretches the field.
Exactly. Who could at least move some sticks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to see what
that's I like that. That's a good topic to bring up right there because Knicks could be a big addition. We'll see if that happens.
Would you approve if you could make any trade out of the two, like, and they would agree? Would you take Knicks or Gordon?
Gordon.
I think that's an easy call. Gordon. I just wanted to see what you say.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon, ever since that 4-game suspension, has really been balling out, to say the least. And he's on the Browns getting passes from Hoyer, Whedon. A mixture of quarterbacks, and he's still just absolutely putting up numbers.
Tearing it up, and yeah, I take Gordon, no doubt. He's a burner.
So hopefully the Browns get out of this playoff hunt in the next 2 to 3 weeks so the Niners can make a deal before the deadline.
That'd be prime. I mean, that'd be ideal. We'll see if it happens.
Another thing, why don't teams in the NFL trade?
I was wondering the same thing. It's not like baseball at all.
It's not.
It's, you're locked in there. If you're playing there, that's where likely you're staying.
Yeah, like this year we had one big trade and it was like the biggest news. Like when Richardson went to the Colts.
Yeah.
That was like huge news because that rarely ever happens in the NFL. I don't understand why more teams trade.
That's a great, great question. I don't get it either.
Because why would you keep a guy on the roster if you're not going to use him next year and you know you can get something back for him? Just like the Raiders, they could have pulled the gun last year on Darren McFadden. But, I mean, here we are still with Darren McFadden. Could have gotten at least a first-round draft pick for him.
I agree. And like you said, before the deadline, like baseball or NBA, when that the deadline hits, there's trades. There's just rumors flustering everywhere. Nothing with NFL trade deadline. Rarely. A lot of draft picks, too, that get dealt rather than players.
Yeah, even NBA has some trades. I mean, and there's at least rumors of stuff that's going to happen. In the NFL, there's like no rumors even. This is the Niners rumor is one of the biggest rumors. Ooh, they might get a wide receiver.
Possibly, yeah. Just a little rumor sparks up the trade talk.
There has been one guy who mentioned maybe it could happen.
Scheffner's all over it.
Yeah, that guy. Anyways, you can get back into that Niners recap.
No. All right.
Screamed off a little bit there.
For sure. So, yeah, like I said, couldn't punch it in. And that's going to hurt. That's going to come back to bite you. And it did, as Fitzgerald had a little nice in route and beat Brock. Whitner came up to gamble, and he took it to the house.
Dante Whiffner.
Whiff, yeah, right?
Instead of changing that
Where's
name
that big Hittner instead of Whiffner?
Gosh, that was an ugly route to the ball. And then he laid some baby little two-hand touch hit on him. And then you're not going to bring down Fitzgerald with that kind of action.
Not at all. Nearly took out Brock.
And then we could see Larry Fitzgerald's dreads trailing 5 yards, 10 yards back when he's running down
just
to the house.
Burning.
Yeah.
Burning away.
And then, when you think about it, the Niners were absolutely owning that game. And then one swing play like that, and it's like, oh my gosh, the Cardinals are now winning.
Yeah.
You're thinking, that's the inability of the Niners to put it in the end zone there. That almost came back to haunt them.
And that kills you. And Palmer took advantage of it, found Fitzgerald. He housed it. And down in the future of the game, Lemon Waugh was able to make a nice play. He sacked Palmer in the end zone to make it 8-6, as that was a safety.
8-6.
Yeah, I know.
That's a great score.
Yeah. A little high-scoring baseball game that you have right there. And then after that, defense started to pick up a little bit. When they got the ball back, Vernon Davis, he got his Willie Mays on. Cap lofted one out. He had a nice catch down the sideline, took it down to the crib. Niners extended the lead 15-7, and it looked like Niners had good control. Not so much. Cardinals came right back, answered Ellington up the gut for 15 yards.
Yeah, it was a back and forth game. It was a back and forth game.
It was.
And no one was really able to pull away. And there were many chances for the Niners to pull away and take this game. But
so many chances.
The Cardinals hung tough, and that's why they're 3-2. Well, now 3-3, but that was a good game. Good NFC West battle.
And kicking off in a little bit, Seattle may get tested. Or Seattle just is going to blow the brakes off of them. But Seattle could get tested because Arizona didn't look too bad.
And anything can happen on Thursday night football games.
Exactly. At home.
At home. Exactly.
I mean, the
Cardinals are a dangerous team. They play defense, and they can make things happen. So, I mean, hopefully Seattle drops another one here, get the Niners back in shooting distance. Tied, basically, if they win.
Yeah. That'd be big. We'll see what happens tonight for your Thursday night action. And, yeah, that pulled cards within one. Niners fans have themselves scratching their heads right now as they think they should be up 3 scores. Cap comes back, finds Davis again. He goes down the right sideline. Cap dropping a dime over the outstretched arm of Jeremiah Bell. That was a pretty nice ball that he had. Niners starting to line up Davis more on the outside. Saw single high coverage, and of course, yeah. I mean, Cap's not going to miss that.
They finally started to have some vertical presence in the offense. It was nice to see for once. It wasn't just the ground and pound, which we all like to see because they win games that way, but they finally started passing the ball in the end zone. Vernon Davis was a huge key component to that.
Big first half for Vernon Davis. Niners took the lead 22-14 at the break, but Palmer comes right back, connects with Michael Floyd, beats Brown, nice corner route, 10 yards out, and that put the Cardinals within two, and then they go back to the same play they ran with Peterson on the reverse pass. Didn't work. Cardinals still trailed by two, and Peterson is playing everywhere. Punt return, wide receiver. Now he's throwing passes, corner.
He's versatile.
That's a versatile product right there.
He's an animal.
animal is correct. And so Cards continue to trail by two. And Niners fans, they get stopped. And Palmer's leading them back down. And you're thinking, all right, Cardinals about to take the lead. They just need a field goal to go up one.
Yeah, this was the key turning point in this game.
Huge turning point in the game. Willie punches it out from behind. Fitzgerald loses control.
You don't see Fitzgerald fumble too often either.
You don't. And they were picking Willis all game over the middle. And finally, they got him picked again, but he just trailed, punched it out. Reed jumps on it again. Eric Reed had a big game, as he's showing major promise for the Niners early. And so right after that, Niners put together
the best drive of the game.
An 18-play, I'm calling it meat-grinding, smash-mouth football drive. As the Niners chewed 9 minutes, 32 seconds off the clock, that was the dagger. Put them up by 9, 29-20. And that pretty much defined what the Niners were all about.
Yeah, good win. A good all-around win against the NFC opponent. Because every time you play an NFC West team, you know it's going to be a battle. It's interdivision. You play them twice a year. They know exactly what you're going to try to do. And it was a good battle. It was a good game to watch.
Very entertaining. As DJ Noni was in the game. Another shout-out to her. But now I'll get you the numbers. Pretty much all defense. Niners, this is where it came down to why they won this game. Forcing four turnovers.
Two fumbles, two picks. That's why they won.
That's how you get
it. The last one was the key one. You're talking about it against Fitzgerald. That was the key fumble. And then they were able to capitalize on that fumble, which is really what made it the most important turnover. 18-play drive. You don't see those very often anymore.
Rarely. Just chewing clock. And like you said, we talked about this last week, Cap being a game manager. More game manager numbers from Cap. 16 for 29, 252, two tutties and a pick. Not outstanding. Game manager numbers right there, and like you touched on, that's what the Niners look like they're going to with Cap.
Yeah, just need to win. That's all he needs to do is win, and that's what he's doing right now. 252 is a little bit up in the yardage compared to what we've been seeing the last couple weeks with Cap, but he did the job. Vernon Davis had 8 receptions for 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was basically the receiver that Cap looked to.
All day.
You could say the Crabtree of last year, the guy he just took 3 steps back and wanted to hit right away. No hiding it.
Exactly. And now Vernon, he's getting loose. Cap's starting to telegraph to Vernon now. His pocket presence a little bit is getting tested.
Yeah.
Getting real tested early. But Gore, really solid game. Carried the rock 25 times for 101. Just touched over 100 yards. And another solid game for Gore back-to-back weeks. Yeah.
That's funny because we had a truth or trash question last week that was, would Gore break 100? And I think you said, did you say trash? I don't know.
Yeah, we both said trash. We didn't think he would.
And he got 101. That's
Gore was out to prove us wrong.
Yeah, he must have been listening because 101 proves that he definitely heard something that we were doubting him. But yeah, good game. 25 rushes for 101. That's a productive game.
Yeah, productive game as well.
And then just a little injury update from Kaepernick. He's been on the injury list for past 3 weeks just as an undisclosed foot injury, and then in the interview this week he actually disclosed that it's a hangnail on his pinky toe that's really been bothering him. So that's why you see his name on the list of people who are hurt.
Must be a nasty hangnail.
I thought it was the funniest thing. I mean, at least he's playing, but you hear an interview, yeah, I got a bad hangnail on my pinky toe, and then the guy who's interviewing him's like, what foot? And he's like, both of them.
Jeez,
that's the funny
part.
Maybe
he's got to change up the cleats or something.
Yeah, how do you have a hangnail on your pinky toe on both? Something's definitely wrong with the gear.
Yeah,
he's all out for style. He's not out for function.
Yeah, we'll get into that later in the show. But taken away from the game, injury report: Glenn Dorsey hamstring injury. Tony Gerard Eddy had to come in and replace. And Niners right now are thin, very thin at the nose tackle, dipping into their third string.
That could hurt. I mean, it showed dividends in the way the Cardinals were able to run the ball, kind of. I mean, you knew that we were down to Glenn Dorsey. I mean, he does a respectable job, but now we're getting down to the third nose tackle. I mean, that's part of the reason why the Cardinals were actually able to run the ball last week.
The push is not going to be nearly as heavy. Dorsey, no report from Harbaugh as if he'll go against Tennessee. It doesn't look like it. Gerard Eddy's looking for another start there. And we touched on this earlier. Manningham made his debut in practice. Eric Wright and Tate Carradine both made their debuts in practice as well. That should add a little more depth to the Niners' defense.
Yeah, the Niners are starting to get a little bit more healthy.
That helps.
All around at every position, they're starting to get some depth back, which is what they need because they're starting to get a little thin. But they're, I mean, the thing about the Niners is their backups play well. You don't really notice an injury against, with the Niners because they're so deep. Like other teams, it would be detrimental. Like, oh, we could run to the left now, or we could throw the ball because their cornerbacks hurt. Not the Niners, really. They got replacements who could do a better job, maybe even than their starters.
Like our boss says, always next man up.
Yeah,
right there. True. And that's going to cut it for the injury report. They got the Titans coming up this week.
The surprising 3-3 Titans. And we talked about this a little earlier. I think if Jake Locker is still at the helm, this team could easily be 4-2, 5-1.
Easily. Defense has carried him all year, basically. And you saw it against Seattle last week.
Yeah, they gave him a run for their money.
Taking the lead in
the
halftime. In the 12th, man. That you don't see that rarely ever. And that scares me a little bit. The fact that they got Ryan Fitzpatrick still at the quarterback doesn't really scare me too much, but this is going to be a game where Titans are going to grind it out on D. It's going to be hostile, and Niners got to come prepared.
Yeah, the Niners are going to an East Coast trip. That's always tough on a football team, going into Tennessee against a good team fighting for a playoff spot. Though it's early in the year, they're still respectable and in position. They feel like they can win this game, so the Niners are going to have a tough road trip. Hopefully they cause Fitzpatrick to throw some picks. He is susceptible to the interception, as we all know from his time in Buffalo and his two starts in Tennessee where he has four picks, only two TDs. So I feel like the Niners defense is going to have to step up again, make some big plays with the turnover.
That'll be the key to the game right there. And talking about this last night, the league issued a little bit of a statement that they're looking for more Thursday night games, and Anquan Boldin wasn't having any of it. This is what he had to say. We'll give you a quick breakdown. He doesn't think it makes any sense to him.
Yeah, he
said. What do you think?
I mean, if you're so concerned about player safety, then why do you have every team in the league playing on Thursday night when they just competed on a Sunday, knowing how difficult it is for guys to get back to being healthy after playing on Sunday? Guys really don't feel like they're back to probably Thursday or Friday to prepare for next week. The league can say they're doing their best to protect guys, but I'm not one of the guys buying it. That's what Boldin said in a direct quote in his interview.
That's pretty hard.
Yeah, he does have a case. I feel like if the NFL wants to do this kind of stuff where they're adding more games on specified days like a Thursday, I feel like Thursday's not the day. It's not the day. I mean, you got to go maybe for a Saturday night game, which is what they have a couple in later in the season. They have a couple Saturday night games. But I feel like if you want to make it every week, I feel like it has to be on like a Saturday, something close to where they're already used to basically playing.
That would work best. And I think the players would be more on board with that rather than playing on Thursday because you're getting up. You're taking a day off pretty much, walk through on Monday, and you got three days to prepare for your next game if you're playing on Thursday night. That doesn't really pose any helpfulness to your team, and like Boldin said, chance of injury, the risk goes up big time.
But do you think the NFL will actually consider that? I mean, they're making so much money off these games, these Thursday night games.
No chance.
Yeah.
They're going through with it.
They're really not. They could like pretend like they're going to go through the motions and be like, oh, we'll look into it. We'll see about player safety and all that, but I mean, I don't really buy it from the NFL.
They're in for themselves. They love the money revenue that's coming in. That's going to be what they're focused on.
I did hear that the statistics about this were that Thursday night was kind of struggling, though, due to the NFL Network being the only people to hold it, and a lot of people don't have NFL Network. So after this year, the contract's actually up. So I think that the NFL will go
more ESPN route.
Yeah, exactly. Either ESPN or Fox or something, some big sports carrier, and basically try to change the statistics and raise it to like what a Sunday night game would be. And I feel like they're going to be able to successfully do that because more people would watch it if they had an NFL Network, I feel.
I agree, yeah. There's nothing really going on Thursday nights, especially during the early football season. So, yeah.
More day in the traditional work week. You're just trying to watch some football. Everyone knows more football is better.
Exactly.
I mean, but the players aren't buying it. Even though they bought into this idea, they were the ones who had to approve it to get this like legible and passed basically. And they bought into it. Now they're just thinking, why did we do this, basically? And Anquan Boldin's statements were very, very noticeable that he did not approve of this.
It's not going to work out too well.
The one good thing, though, about it is that they get like a 10-day break after it. But, I mean,
that's the upside right there.
Yeah. They just got to basically push through it. The quality of football on Thursday Night Football is a little bit down, too, because they're sore, they're tired. You can definitely tell. Yeah, you can definitely tell it's noticeable, but I mean, I still like Thursday Night Football, but I'm not playing.
Yeah, fans' perspective, we all love it. More Thursday Night Football. Then you got Friday, rolling to Saturday, you got your college football, if you like that, and then Sunday. So you're getting football quite a bit once the near weekend kicks up. But
Are you proposing two Thursday night football games?
two Thursday night football games, fans' perspective, would be great, but these players aren't going to have any of that.
Oh, no.
They're going to be nuts if that goes down.
Just saying, if you become commish ever.
Oh, wow. Slap the crown of the commissioner on me right now. I wouldn't do it. I'd give the players the benefit of the doubt. I mean, they make the league run. This is why everybody watches these great athletes play each week in and week out. I'd just keep it at one. And like you said, if you want to get another game before Sunday, get it on Saturday.
Yeah, I feel like that's the best answer. I don't know if they're going to listen to that, but I feel like a weekly Saturday night game, I mean, then you're dealing with college, and I don't know how that works.
That interfere probably yeah. with the networks.
So maybe that's why they don't do it. I just talked myself out of my own idea there. But, I mean, it's something to look at, definitely, because Saturday night football would be beneficial to the players rather than Thursday night football.
I agree. Well, we're going to give you a nice Soul Candy promo coming up here. We're going to take our first break. Raiders talk coming up next. Tough game against the Chiefs, but they look to rebound after their bye week. Opportunity to see your fellow students show off their incredible talents. From killer music, rap, performance poetry, and cutting-edge dance performances will all be on display. The performances will start at 7 and go till 9 p.m. in Angelico Hall on October 23rd. Shout out to Capamelia and Black Student Union for sponsoring this ninth edition of Soul Candy.
And if that doesn't get you pumped, I don't know what will. He introduced something there that's an amazing production here at Dominican, Soul Candy 9, the ninth edition of that.
So many talents are going to be on display. Yeah, get out there if you can.
You're definitely going to hear raps, poems,
dancing.
Other hidden talents that you maybe never have known from the students here at Dominican. So great little promo there, just producing Soul Candy there. So we're going to get into a little Raider talk since we talked about the Niners here. And a disappointing loss for the Raiders last week against a quality overrated team. But, I mean, definitely a winnable game when it got down to the second half. The Raiders choked like they have been doing. They need to figure out how to win. That mainly falls on Terrell Pryor. I mean, just a lot of things to take away from this game. First thing I want to talk about is the injuries that happened. I mean, we were up 7-0 when our second string center, Andre Giroud, goes down, and it seemed like the game went downhill from there. Did you happen to catch the Raider game, or did you see the highlights?
Caught the Raider game. Always got to keep up on my Raiders, just because, shout out to my grandma out there. She'd get on me if I'm not. Caught it. Yeah, that hurt. Looked like the line definitely took a little bit of a step back. Pryor was running for his life. The defensive line, though, for the Chiefs is pretty nasty.
Yeah. You touched on it earlier last week, how they led the league in NFL sacks, and they definitely padded that lead with 10 sacks against Terrell Pryor.
Jeez. But when it started out good, started out well.
Yeah,
Moore took it to the house.
Let's talk about
that. I mean, I was like, man, okay, 7-0. Defense is outstanding right now for the Raiders. This could be an upset in the making right now. I was thinking that at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, we had the lead, and then Sebastian Janikowski's going for a field goal. We're looking good. Everything's clicking. I'm going to say clicking for the Raiders. And then it's a 51-yard field goal. You think that's automatic
territory.
That's
Seabass range right there.
And again, he misses. He's already capped his total of misses from last year. He's at 4, and last year he only had 3.
Are you worried about Seabass? That's usually money for him. 51's a long kick for a lot of kickers, but that's not for Seabass.
That's like a chip shot for Seabass.
Right?
Usually when it gets in the 60s, you're like, okay, maybe he might miss this one. I mean, I'm starting to worry about Seabass. I don't know if it's the whole holder thing that everyone's talking about, or maybe it's just him not preparing. He got a big contract again, so.
I mean, Leckler was big, man.
That's true.
I like Leckler.
They did have a good continuity there. It was Leckler and Seabass the whole time. He had one holder, basically. Now he's going to Marquette King, who's a second-year punter. He was never held before. I mean, that could be the problem. I'm not inside.
I'd say it's part of the problem, at least.
Yeah, maybe it's a factor.
Yeah.
I mean, Sebastian Janikowski's still got to make a kick, though. Yeah. That's what they work on in practice. They're taking everything they do in practice is get the snap down, kick it. So you're thinking they've had 6 weeks of just regular season practice just kicking a field goal, and you can't nail a 51-yarder in Arrowhead where you like to kick. I mean, I was thinking maybe it was the dirt at Oakland, but that's not it. I mean, he's just not in sync right now. That's a little scary to me because they had the chance to go up 10-7 there.
That would have been big.
And that's a big miss, and it came back to haunt us at the end, which is the second time Sebastian's missed a kick, and you were like, dang, if he only made that.
Things might have been different.
Yeah, but anyways, like I was talking about earlier, Giroud goes down. We bring in our third-string center, a rookie. Well, we moved our right guard to center. And then we brought in two rookies to play. We brought in Maddie. And he did not look good. But, I mean, again, he's a rookie.
Anytime you shuffle the line mid-game at Arrowhead, problems can occur.
And they broke the sound decibel, loudest stadium outside during a sporting event. They beat the 12th man at 137.6 decibels.
Dude, that's ground-shaking. That's loud.
Yeah, they were averaging like 112 until that pick six that Terrell Pryor threw, that's when the record actually happened. But I mean it is hard for even first string linemen to come in there and perform well. It was just ugly. They had too many false starts, too many delay games.
Touch on the penalties real quick, man. How many penalties?
Man,
11?
This was the old Raiders here. The old Raiders came back to form. 11 penalties for 68 yards. I mean, the yardage isn't that bad, but that's because they were taking a lot of 5-yard penalties.
They had
3 delay games. They had 2 false starts. I can't even get the right numbers for that. I mean, they're just way too many. It was definitely noticeable, which is what you don't want. Terrell Pryor was getting the ball snapped at like 1 second each play. You got to be better than that. You practice all week with the sound thing. They brought in sound, make sure they're ready for this noise. you got to get the play in early. And Terrell Pryor was trying to, because of the new lineman, I understand he was trying to like, oh, you do that, trying to basically command. Yeah, orchestrate's a better word. Orchestrate the line on what to do, but it was just taking way too much time, and you definitely saw it was noticeable.
Yeah. Any time that happens, I mean, it's going to be tough, especially for Pryor, who's already a young QB as it is, to orchestrate a very inexperienced line, and it showed. 10 sacks definitely hurts. But I'll tell you this, when the Chiefs come to the Coliseum, it's going to be a new ball game.
Yeah.
They'll be out for some blood, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to get away from that.
I don't think the Chiefs were that good.
I mean, they looked good in the end just because things just spiraled out of control. But I agree. To be an undefeated team, it didn't look like that.
Yeah, and they have a potential to be undefeated all the way back up to when they play Denver. They have a light schedule coming up. So, I mean, you could see an undefeated matchup against Denver 4 weeks from now, I believe it is.
Just imagine that. Alex Smith undefeated with Andy Reid, who got fired.
I don't like it.
What?
Because I don't like the
Chiefs. I'm scratching my head right now.
I don't like the Chiefs, man. Yeah. But, I mean, from what I saw, the Raiders hung with them.
Raiders are fine.
The defense hung with them. Let's recap that. The defense looked amazing again for the fourth week in a row. They're playing really good defense. They're swarming to the ball. They seem like they're playing with passion.
It's the backbone right here.
Yeah.
This is going to be the backbone the whole year.
It's something to build on. If we can keep these defensive guys and keep them growing, like DJ Hayden forced another fumble last week. That was a big fumble in the red zone when they were driving.
He's playing well.
Charles Woodson seemed to be there again and recovered the football. He's a ball hawk. Yeah. He is. Good word. But yeah, other than that, I mean, the defense was the main point of this game. They had 3 sacks all in the first half, though, but they did force 3 sacks. I thought they were getting pressure on Alex Smith a lot. They caused him to feel uncomfortable.
He was uncomfortable, especially in the first half.
But yeah, I feel like he was rushing his throws, and that's why that was the main reason why he was so inaccurate. Like, everyone was talking about, Alex Smith, he's just off today. I thought the Raiders front seven was
that was playing. The reason
yeah,
why.
They were Raiders front seven. They were making his knees weak, making him quick feet, making him throw the ball over the head of Jamaal Charles mainly. Because even on those quick little flank routes where they can get
angle routes,
they couldn't hit him on that either.
I agree. And if the Raiders try to make Alex Smith win this ball game rather than turning it over and giving him prime field position, we might be talking about a different story right now.
Yeah, they had 17 points, I think, off turnovers.
Yeah, that's all defense.
And that's that was like the main factor why they lost. A 24-7 final score.
Like doesn't we were show about. What really yeah, the game was about.
It was much closer than the score. It was 7-7 basically the whole game. And then Terrell Pryor, talk about this for a little bit. He throws the second worst interception of the week. Because did you see the Brad Weeden one?
The little shovel pass. Throwing that away?
Like 14 yards to the sideline.
Flag football? What is that?
That was the worst interception. But the second worst interception of the week goes to Terrell Pryor. He wins this award he gets pressure. I mean, of course there's going to be pressure. There's pressure the whole game. But he throws off the back foot like a Hail Mary, like duck line. Like, I don't even know how to explain this.
Just lofted it.
Yeah, a flailing duck. Like he just got shot out of midair. And then he was just hoping for something to happen to Rod Streeter. And then it was the easiest pick this guy's probably ever had. Yeah, just 2 hands right above his head, bam, catches it, and they score off that. And that was like the momentum changer.
That was it. That's Chiefs crowd went crazy. If you're Pryor, plant your back foot and just chuck that thing into the stands. Get rid of it.
Yeah, he needs to learn how to do that. He's cocky that he can get out of these kind of situations still.
I mean, once I saw the back foot throw, I was like, whoa, even if a guy's open and you're throwing it off your back foot, it's a little dangerous. If you're a vet, you make it happen. If you're Brett Favre, it probably always happens.
Yeah, that's how he throws.
If you're Terrell Pryor and you're making that throw from near your own goal line, that's just recipe for disaster.
I mean, the Raiders defense still held. I think they held him to a field goal that drive.
And stand tall.
But, I mean, that's just inexcusable to have a throw like that. One more bright spot from the game, other than the defense, was Marquette King from his punting aspect. This kid has got a boom for a leg.
We saw him in warm-ups against the Chargers game, and he was booming him.
And it's funny because the guy looks like a running back / cornerback hybrid. He does not look like a punter.
I want to see a fake punt one of these times.
He's got so much swagger.
You see him dancing when he's doing that hold.
Yeah, he was doing, I don't know what kind of dance that is. I'm not familiar with it, but he was getting it. That's for sure. But anyways, he had 8 punts. Yes, 8 punts, because the Raiders' offense was miserable. 8 punts for a 51.8-yard average. And the special teams basically held all that for net, too. There was no big returns against the dangerous kick returner. Yeah, against the dangerous kick returner in McCluster. So I mean, that's another bright spot.
He'll be good all year. I like Marquette King
a lot. Yeah, I'm glad they chose him over Chris Cluey, to say the least, because Chris Cluey is an aging vet.
Yeah.
And Marquette King's the second-year power-legged punter, and I feel like he's doing a great job in that field.
Yeah. Big flipping field position, and that's big.
Yeah. And then one, I want to start with the negatives. We already talked about the line. We talked about, but that was mainly due to injuries, but line was horrible. Either way, you can't give up 10 sacks and look like that. But one more downside to this game was Darren McFadden, his first game back from the injury. He had 52 rush yards. They tried getting him going. It just was not happening. That could be due to the Chiefs' strong defense, but, I mean, you got to be able to break something.
I thought he was going to get going before the game started, pregame and everything. All these analysts are breaking it down, and I thought McFadden, this would be the time he's coming back off an injury, and I thought he'd be getting going, and that was going to be the reason why the Raiders might upset the Chiefs. It didn't happen, but having the defense stand very tough, I was like, man, they still got a chance. But like you said, McFadden, only 52 yards on the ground. You need more than that.
Yeah, and they're within shooting distance in the fourth quarter. Terrell Pryor's got the ball. We're driving a little bit. I think we get to our own 40, and then it's first and 10, sack, penalty, sack, penalty. Anyways, it adds up to a fourth and 48.
My dad texted me about this too, and I was like, what is going on right now?
I don't think I've ever seen a fourth and 48 unless I was playing Madden against one of my friends or something. To tell you the truth, a fourth and 48. A fourth and 48. What are you doing to get a fourth and 48? What play call do you use in the third and 48?
I don't know. They tried to go for the screen, set up the screen.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. But, dude, what was kind of just even worse was the punt from Marquette King didn't cross the first down marker.
Yeah.
That's just like, oh, man. Dude, you're backed up. You're really backed up if that's happening. 48 yards from line of scrimmage first down.
I'm trying to think of another situation to where I've seen just like that. I mean, I've seen some fourth and 30s just due to like two holding calls.
Or
and like
clip or something.
Yeah, but a fourth and 48, like we were backed all the way back to like our 10.
I know, dude. And just imagine like an illegal contact or something automatic first down.
Oh, man.
That would have just pulled Andy Reid's hair right out.
That was another instance to where I was like, oh, this game is just not working for us. And we were in the game at that point. Yeah. And that was not like we're getting blown out and we're just trying to hail some deep throws or anything. And then, yeah, basically Terrell Pryor threw two more picks to end the game. Totaled for 18 out of 34. Pretty bad numbers. 216 yards, one TD, and three picks. You can't
started
turn
off
over.
Really, really yeah, nice.
He did start off well.
And talk about a little Denarius Moore. He is coming up as the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, he's finally playing consistent.
He's beating people off the line of scrimmage, and he's fast. He's quick, and he's fast, and he's getting loose right now. He broke a nice play against Denver on Monday Night Football, and he had a nice tutty last week, had 82 yards receiving.
Yeah, he's becoming a consistent performer, which is what we need. We needed someone to step up as a lead wide receiver, and I think he's doing a great job. So hopefully now we can get Streeter or Bryce Butler, someone like that, just to compliment him, not to be number one per se, but like a nice number two who can just run a slant route, move the sticks, basically.
Why aren't the Raiders in the talks for any Hakeem Nicks? I feel that would be a nice piece. Do they not have the
funds right now? They have a lot of money, dead money. I think it's like $52 million in dead money, and that's not even counting the Flynn thing, the Flynn ordeal. So, I mean, they're just paying players that aren't even playing for their team right now. That's part of the reason why they're not even involved in trade talks. I feel like they should give away some trading, like give away McFadden, give away someone who actually has some market. But, I mean, McFadden's value is dropping by the second. Just because he's so
fragile,
ineffective, and fragile. So, I mean,
still a lot of season left. Maybe he gets it going.
Yeah. I mean, we could maybe target a wide receiver during the free agent period next year because we have some money freed up. But right now, just nothing happened. This is going to be the team. I'm hoping that we use that money to re-sign some key defensive players, re-sign Lamar Houston, guys like that.
Keep the defense intact. If you're going to build, that's where it all starts with. That's your wall right there.
We need to build from the lines up, which is what most teams are doing now. They're going to starting with the offensive line and defensive line and then getting players like that to fill in.
That's how it's done. And that's how you're going to build a nice organization. But they got the bye, so it's well-timed.
It's a well-timed bye.
You get to kind of nurse, lick your wounds, and then you got the Steelers coming in.
At home.
Who played pretty dang well on the road against the Jets. It looked kind of like the old Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think it was because Coach took away ping pong.
You mentioned it.
I did. I think that was the key. I think that's why they won.
No ping pong. And we're going to win.
You get no fun, and we're going to actually play some football. Yeah, finally the
That's
Steelers.
What needed to happen, though. I mean, yeah. Mike Tomlin was getting fed up in the post-game interviews because the Steelers weren't that bad of a team.
Yeah, so was Big Ben. He was getting just irritated, calling his team out, and nothing was working. I mean, they came off the bye and made some plays. Looked like the Steelers of old. They played defense. They got a turnover. First turnover.
First turnover of the season.
Yeah. You don't see that too often. I think last year it took them like four plays or something to get a takeaway, but this year they finally got one in the fifth game.
Jeez, yeah. Man.
So, I mean, maybe they're back. I mean, that's a tough team, but we do usually play them well, especially at home. Last year we beat them at home, and our team, we all know, was not very good, and we beat the Steelers at home. So
they're going to be banged off coming against the Ravens this week, so they're going to be a little hurt.
Yeah,
that's going to be a physical game.
Yeah, that's a black and blue bruiser game.
Then you come to Oakland after that, after they're going to have a bye week. That's a recipe for a Raiders W right there.
The Raiders have looked good at home, too, minus that Redskins game, which we've already highlighted. But, I mean, the Raiders have looked good at home. They like playing for the crowd, and the crowd showed up the home game. So, I mean, I'm liking the Raiders in this game. Hopefully they get healthy.
I do, too.
Yeah, we need Wisniewski back for sure.
Yeah.
Hopefully Garrod can heal. Nix can heal. Just give everyone some time to heal. And what I heard 2 days ago was they were having the players who have played under 4 years on the practice field, and everyone who's had 4 years more experience was in the room doing film.
I like that.
Yeah, they need that.
Divide it up a little bit.
Yeah, they need some rest.
All right, so we're going to take it out. We're going to give you one more. Actually, we're going to give you two more Soul Candy promos. This is going to be our second one. This is a big, big deal here at Dominican. A lot of students are going to be putting on their talents. We're going to give you what Chops came up with. It's golden. Take a listen. We'll be right back. We got Grind Our Gears coming up next segment. Should be nice.
She's a wild rose waiting on me at the end of the road. Between the water tower and the power line. I get her buckled in my pickup truck. She's 10 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound sack. A Hollywood looker in a John Deere cap. I go fast, she hollers faster. She's the first one up the hayloft ladder. A girl like that's what a country boy's after. She cranks, she cranks, she cranks my tractor. She cranks, she cranks, she cranks my tractor. Sucking jet fuel from the radio. Cows and cornfields flying by. Gates locked, off the fence. Sneak past the barn where the riverbank bends. She's the best skinny dipper that you ever gonna find. She can hit the branch with her brow every time. And I go fast, she hollers faster. She's the first one up the hayloft ladder. A girl like that's what a country boy's after. She cranks, she cranks my tractor. She cranks, she cranks, she cranks my tractor. She's 10 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound sack. Long straight away on a quarter mile track. She got a that'll hit you like a heart attack. I got the rifle, she's got the rack. And I go fast, she hollers faster. She's the first one up the hayloft ladder. A girl like that's what a country boy's after. She cranks, she cranks, she cranks my tractor. I go fast, she hollers faster. She's the first one up the hayloft ladder. A girl like that's what a country boy's after. She cranks, she cranks, she cranks my tractor. She cranks, she cranks, she cranks my tractor. She cranks, she cranks, she cranks my tractor. Hang on, girl.
Sounds
Save the date, Wednesday, October 23rd, as the crowd-pleasing Soul Candy is back for its 9th performance. A packed house will definitely be present at Angelica Hall, so make sure to arrive well before the slated 7 p.m. start. Soul Candy promises to leave the audience in awe with amazing student performances including raps, poetry, dance, and much more. Catch all the cutting-edge performances Wednesday, October 23rd at 7 in Angelica Hall or online at radio.dominican.edu. And we are back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Sports Relative here with Chops and Ty. It's the third episode, and we had to get a little bit creative because, as we touched on earlier, the A's are out. No more playoff talk, which took up a good half of our segment, basically, half of our show. So Sports Relative, as we promised our listeners, we're going to be creative. And one of the new segments we're kind of, I want to say it's an audition for, is called Grind My Gears.
Grinds my gears.
And the way, I'll tell you the origin of this segment. It came, I was just chilling on Ty's couch here, just watching some sports. And he goes, you know what grinds my gears? And I don't even remember what he said, to tell you the truth. I was just focused on, ooh, that might be a good segment. We could definitely use this. So I'm sorry, I forgot what you said.
You just took it to work.
Yeah, do you remember what you said?
Yeah.
What grinds your gears about just life?
It was about how I was searching for some nice toilet paper in the grocery store, and I ended up buying gas station-type toilet paper.
Yeah, you quoted
it
as
you... Oh, man.
You thought you hit the toilet paper gold, something like that?
Nope.
Okay. Now I remember. That's all we need to
I can understand why you forgot that.
It's not that I was like just ignoring you. I don't want you to think that here. I don't want any off-air non-chemistry.
I'm just happy you got the segment.
Yeah.
That's what I'm happy
that's
about.
That's what I'm focused on. You know, 24/7, if I see something golden, not like your tissue paper, I'm going to come up with a segment. So here's our new segment, Grinds My Gears. We'll each come up with something from the sports world. Doesn't have to be Bay Area, that really just grinds our gears. And I think Ty wants to go first on this one. Do you want to go first?
Sure, yeah. I'll go first on this.
Hey, take it away.
All right. First one, grinds my gears. It has to do with NFL breast cancer awareness.
You know what really grinds my gears?
What grinds your gears?
All right. So basically, for the NFL, every October, the NFL dresses its fields and players. They got the pink going on. The pink is everything. It's just trademark for this breast cancer
awareness.
Definitely
noticeable.
And I like it. I'm digging it, how they support that. But this is what is really, really upsetting me here.
This report came out today, by the way. We are updated on this. Take it away. What grinds your gears?
This grinds my gears right here. Only 8% of the money fans spend on NFL pink merchandise goes towards cancer research.
Only 8%.
Only 8%. NFL's making a good profit on people spending money on this pink gear.
For what they believe is going to cancer.
For a good cause.
That grinds my gears too.
That's making me upset. So basically, we're going to put it into perspective. For every $100 in sales of pink gears, only $3.54 is going towards research, while the NFL is keeping approximately $45.
They are making money off this.
They're making a profit for something that is a huge, huge deal right now. And cancer is terrible, especially this devastating breast cancer.
And again, the NFL just finding a way to make money, just like Thursday Night Football. That grinds my gears, too.
So, yeah, that heated me up a little bit. Take yours away, though. This one's a good one as well.
Okay, that's a tough one to follow. I'm going to give you that. My grind my gears comes from Indianapolis, little old Colt town. I don't know if many of you have heard, but what grinds my gears is that the Colts are throwing a tribute on the Sunday night game to Peyton Manning. I'm just going to say this right now. That grinds my gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
You know what really grinds my gears, Family Guy?
What grinds your gears, Chops?
How are the Colts throwing a quarterback that they're playing a pregame celebration? I can't even fathom this idea that the Colts are going to be happy that the undefeated Broncos are coming into town and you're going to throw, okay, he's your old quarterback, a celebration.
If I'm Andrew Luck, how do you feel?
Yeah.
Do you clap? I'm trying to beat Peyton Manning. This is my team now. Should I clap for him? I better clap.
This is two teams who are locked in a playoff race here. The Colts have been very respectable this year, and the Broncos, as everyone knows, are undefeated, and you're going to throw their quarterback a pregame celebration? If I'm a Colts fan, I loved Peyton Manning,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, appreciate the work he did.
Yeah, give him a little shout-out. Just be like, okay, Peyton Manning back for his first game. Everyone stand and applause.
That's all you got to do.
But now they're going to go into a whole ordeal celebration spotlighted by Sunday Night Football. Jim Irsay, you grind my gears. How do you possibly think this is a good idea? Peyton Manning's going to torch your team for 50 points, and you're going to throw him a celebration? That grinds my gears.
I don't get it. So you're cheering for Peyton Manning before the game, but then you're rooting against him during the game.
I don't get it either. That's what grinds my gears.
I agree. Those are two great topics that we addressed.
God, I just got a little worked up there. I'm like all sweaty here. I need a drink of this water here.
There you go.
Anyways, that's a little dry run through the grind my gears segments. If you liked it, you can comment. Feel free to comment with us. We do have a Facebook page.
Yeah, if you have something that grinds your gears that you want to bring to light, go ahead and drop a comment on that page.
Search Penguin Radio Sports Relative, or go on to the URL facebook.com/sportsrelative. So if you want to give any input why that should grind your gears, or you didn't know about the breast cancer thing and why you're upset now, or anything that grinds your gears about sports, we're definitely willing to hear it.
We'll put it on the show.
Tell us if you liked the segment. Tell us if you didn't like the segment. We're just throwing new ideas out here. We have one more creative segment coming up later.
Stay tuned for this. This is the golden idea that Chops came to me last night. We divvy it up in my apartment, and I hope you all really enjoy it. But
this segment is like, I don't have any experience with this, but I'm just seeing how maybe I could feel in this situation. Say that I'm a father of three kids.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm a father of three kids, and I love them all. I'm not gonna say I don't love them all. I love them all, and they're all amazing in their own ways.
That's a good dad.
Yeah, that's a good dad. But everyone asks, who's your favorite kid? Who's your favorite child? And you know you have an answer to this. You know that you're...
You just can't give it.
The percentage is probably 100, 100.1, 100.2 to the love of that kid or to the amazingness of that kid. That 100.2 is definitely higher, even if it's the smallest of margins.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting to here is that our segment coming after NFL picks, the new one that we're bringing in that we adopted, I want to say is a new part of our family. He's my favorite kid.
He's going to be showing up quite a bit.
Now, Truth or Trash was my favorite kid, but we got an adoption. We got an adopted kid now, so
I just like that kid a little bit more.
A little bit more. So, I mean, not to hype it up too much, but you definitely have to stay tuned for that. It's coming after NFL picks. But, I mean, I just wanted to just give you guys a little feeling.
Great
about,
analogy right there, though.
About how I feel and how it compares to real life. Anyways, again, I'm just getting off topic today.
Dude, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You're hyping up the show. You can't get any better than that.
facebook.com/sportsrelative. Okay. that's my jingle.
There you go. It's a great jingle.
You know, in class we should be able to really work on jingles, because I feel like they're the most fun thing about communications and PR and marketing.
I agree.
We're doing all this logo coming up with logos and stuff. We need a jingle.
Throwing a jingle here for a project. However, some students are going to take that way out of proportion. I've got a couple in mind. I'm not going to say anybody, but I just feel that it could get a little wacky.
Okay, and that's why I'm not a teacher, everyone.
And we'll throw it back to our slate of NFL games right now, as Mike leading me by a game. He's at 19-10. I'm at 18-11.
Yeah.
And we both go exactly the same record. We didn't pick the same games, but we hit the same record,
10-5. I mean, so money's good if you want to bet. I mean, we're pretty decent at picking these. If you believe us,
pick it up this week too.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
it keeps growing.
19-10 is nothing elite about it, but I mean, it's serviceable, definitely serviceable.
It is, yeah.
So I mean, we're gonna get into the slate here, starting with tonight's game, the Seahawks, the 5-1 Seahawks. Let me just put that in there. One game ahead of the Niners at the 3-3 Cardinals. What's your take on this game?
I'm going Hawks, even though I think it's going to be hostile. Like you said, Thursday Night Football always gets hostile for the home crowd. I'm taking the Hawks. What I've seen out of Russell Wilson is he is an amazing quarterback. His management of the game is right now near elite. Second year, give it to Russell right now. I go Hawks too. Run game gets going. What do you think, Chops?
In a battle of the birds, you could say. The Seahawks at the Cardinals. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I feel like they're too tough of a team, and with no preparation for the Cardinals, really, I don't see how they're going to stop Marshawn Lynch. I think Marshawn Lynch goes off today. Two touchdowns. Beast mode.
Helps out the fantasy team.
Yeah. He's probably going to have some interesting Snickers. Snickers. I'm hungry.
Throw him some Skittles, though. He likes the candy.
Sneakers. Sneakers. Oh, okay. Not Snickers. Oh, that was bad. Anyways, I feel like Marshawn Lynch goes off today. I feel like the Seahawks take this one.
And I wouldn't be surprised if an announcer steals your Battle of the Birds tonight.
Yeah.
They might.
I mean, I might have stolen that from someone else because I've heard it before, but maybe I haven't. I don't know.
I'm going to say Chops is going to claim that as original line.
Okay.
That was good.
Copyright. Copyright that for me.
Get the legality with it. All right. So we're going to move next game. 0-5 Buccaneers at the 1-4 Falcons. Chops, who are you going with?
In a battle of futility, I'm going with the Falcons here. I don't see how the Buccaneers can beat them. Even though the Falcons have struggled this year, Steven Jackson might play. He's still on the up and up. Yeah, and mending. I believe the Falcons win this one in a close game. I don't think Glennon's going to have the ability to drive this team back to beat the Falcons. Maybe a field goal game here, but I'm hoping. Oh, and we forgot to talk about Julio Jones is out. That's going to add another
fantasy owners, Julio Jones.
Don't bring that up.
Sorry.
Don't bring that up.
He was a monster.
Yeah, he was leading the league in receiving points, and then now he's out for the season. I mean, that's going to hurt Matt Ryan, but I feel like they're going to get it done. Harry Douglas steps up. I feel like they get it done. How about you?
I learned my lesson last week for picking with the Buccaneers, so I'm going to go Falcons. Not only that, they're coming off the bye. This team just lost to a Jets team that I also think is a little bit overrated for their record. They got a nice defense, granted, and the Falcons right now can't get the run game established. Maybe they will with Steven Jackson coming back possibly next week. Maybe he'll get some time this week, but I'm going to go Falcons.
All righty. And the next game, we have the 4-2 Bears at the 1-4 Redskins. What's your take on this one?
Well, people might laugh at me for this pick.
I'm laughing at you right now.
I'm taking the Redskins. I'm going to take the Washington Redskins.
Have you watched them play
as
football?
As bad as they have looked.
Have you watched them play the game?
I'm going to take RG3. Gets the team ready. Alfred Morris and Roy Helu Jr. have looked good as a good tandem back. Garcon gets going a little bit. However, this does not seem like a good matchup for the Redskins, but I'm going to take them at home. Must win for the Redskins.
Definitely must win. They're already falling back in the lowly NFC East division.
I'm assuming you're going opposite. What do you what do you say, Josh?
I'm definitely going opposite. I'm taking the 4-2 Bears, even on the road. I believe Matt Forte gets going again. Jay Cutler's been actually looking pretty consistent this year, not throwing as many picks. It's because the offensive line's been able to block a little bit better.
Weapons on the outside now. Yeah. Not just Marshall.
That's true. They got Alshon Jeffery, who's had a monster season.
Big.
Yeah, he's been a big fantasy pickup, too, for all those fantasy players out there. I'm going to take the Bears in this one. I think it's going to be closer than people think. It's going to be a good game. So I understand why he took the Redskins, but I'm taking the Bears here.
Smart pick. All right, we're going 3-3 Cowboys at the 3-3 Eagles. First place on the line right here. Who are you taking, Chops?
I am taking the Eagles. I think Nick Foles has looked very good.
Looked good last week.
Yeah. He's playing better than Mike Vick played in the starting QB position. I mean, the defense is still their weak point, and this could be a shootout like the Cowboys and Broncos were, because I don't see
The Eagles, you want that.
Yeah, the Eagles do want that. I don't think I see any defense really stopping the other team, so I'm going to take the Eagles in a high-scoring affair. Definitely take the over. I don't know what the over-under is, but I'm saying take the over.
I like that call. McCoy leading the league in rushing.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson has come alive this season. He's hooked up well in Chip Kelly's offense. However, I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to take the Cowboys. Even with no DeMarco Murray or DeMarcus Ware, I'm going to take Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, the fill-in Joseph Randle, Witten and company to get it done.
Yeah, Joseph Randle. I think he's a very good backup. I think he might be better.
He's solid. He has the same capabilities of DeMarco Murray. He can catch the football. He's quick and fast, kind of like Murray. He just doesn't run as hard.
Yeah. So, I mean, good pick. And then the next up, we have the 5-1 Pats, the Patriots, against the 3-3 Jets.
If there hasn't been a team that owns another team more, I got to go Patriots, hands down. And if they lose, I'm going to look like a fool, but I got to go Patriots, especially after the magic Tom Brady pulled last week.
That was a great
game.
Against
New Orleans.
I know. I wasn't able to catch it, but I saw the highlights, and that was a great drive. Great game overall.
Yeah.
But the Patriots definitely got a much-needed win.
Where do you stand?
I'm definitely taking the Patriots over this one, too. I don't think Geno Smith is anything he's been hacked up to be.
Way too inconsistent.
Yeah.
Way too inconsistent.
He almost pulled a Mark Sanchez butt fumble thing, too, a couple weeks back.
He pulls that, and then he beats Atlanta on the road. Yeah, and then he can't get anything going against Pitt, so.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots in this one. I think. Have you heard anything about Gronk?
Dude, Gronk, they're saying if he misses this game, he's definitely coming back next week. Like this is up in the air, but Amendola got cracked.
Yeah,
he's out with a concussion. Yeah. He won't go. That guy's getting injured all day. Thanks a lot, Danny.
The last 3 years, he's been getting hurt, just inconsistent, very much like Darren McFadden.
Yeah, he's supposed to be their Welker.
Yeah.
Look what Tom Brady gets to see Peyton Manning and Wes Welker do.
Oh, God, they've been dangerous.
But
moving on.
Yeah, moving on. 2-4 Bills at the 3-2 Dolphins. Dolphins off a bye. Who you got?
I'm taking the Dolphins for that reason. They're coming off a bye. They were able to rest. Their defense was getting a little shaky towards the last two games, which is why the bye was needed for them. And I think Thad Lewis had one good game. I don't think he does it again. I think the Dolphins take this one pretty handedly.
No, I definitely agree. They play well at home. Yeah. Beat Atlanta at home. Played the Ravens tight to a 2-point game at home. I got the Dolphins as well coming off the bye.
And then we got the surprising 3-3 Chargers at the 0-6 Jaguars. Not surprising at the Jaguars 0-6. I think we know where we're going on this one.
Chargers!
Chargers! Yeah, not much to talk about. Justin Blackmon's been kind of revived.
Giving that offense a little revamp, but nothing to the point where they could get a W.
And it
really was
funny because the Jaguars actually held with the Broncos for the first three quarters.
If you were pounding this point spread for Denver, I laugh at you guys because the largest point spread in the NFL history against the Jags team, who sometimes gets compared to the Alabama college football team, who's number one, covers against Denver.
That would be an interesting game to see the Crimson Tide against the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars whoop them, but it would just be funny.
People legitimately believe Bama would hang.
No way.
I'd put the point spread at 50+.
Yeah.
That the Jags would win.
No way that the...
And every position NFL player to... Just imagine college athletes. You got maybe 5 or 6...
Yeah.
Maybe 7 NFL players on that team. They're not even starters.
They're not even impact players most of the time.
That's ridiculous. I see people hyping that up. I'm like, you guys really need to get it together.
Yeah, they're like talking about how the Jaguars wouldn't even place in the top half in the SEC. Like, come on now. You know, that's not even fair.
And these guys are getting paid.
Yeah,
paid
exactly.
Money.
I don't agree with that. So
we need to hop on for their spots.
We're both taking the Chargers. They're going to move to 4-3 and that's basically what that has to do with that. The 3-3 Rams at the 2-3 Panthers.
Panthers looked really, really solid against the Vikings. Rams looked even better against the Texans. Granted, the Texans don't look very good, but maybe this is a little wake-up call that they really need to get going. There will be no Schaub this week. Keenum's going to get the start. Jeez. Who can sling it? He threw it like 70 times per game when he's playing for Houston. I don't know how his arm's still good.
We're talking about the Texans, and we're not even talking about the Texans.
Yeah.
That's how funny their year's been.
Right.
Because it's funny because TJ Yates comes in, and they're in the goal line. Red zone. I couldn't think of the word. I'm struggling today. It's the lack of sleep. But anyways, okay, so TJ Yates is in the red zone, taking over for Matt Schaub. Everyone's already happy. Woo, yay, TJ Yates. And I was like, oh, my God.
We'll get into the Schaub cheering about the injury later.
Oh,
but.
Man. So, you know how they have the ongoing current record for pick sixes? Well, Matt Schaub held it. And then TJ Yates comes in and throws a pick six.
Fans are so happy Yates is in. Look what happens.
So now it's another game added to that total where they're just doing a team with the most consecutive pick sixes. It's pretty
funny.
That's
sad, man. That's almost like a curse.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. And you're a team that's done that 5 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
Oh, my. But anyways, for the pick, getting back
Rams and Panthers, not Texans.
Yeah, I'm going to take Carolina at home. I think they get it done. Who do you think?
Yeah, Carolina's looked much better the last 2 weeks. Their defense is playing surprisingly well. Mike Mitchell, former Raider, has been a very good free agent pickup for the Panthers. And I think that they get it done against the Rams. I don't think the Rams can stop the run, so I'm hoping that Cam Newton and D'Angelo Williams, Tolbert, the whole three-headed monster they have behind Cam Newton gets it going. So I think the Panthers take this one.
Good take.
And then we got the 4-2 Bengals at the 4-2 Lions. Maybe one of the better games of the week. Who are you taking?
Dude, I was just going to say that. This is going to be a great, great game. Bengals lose the lead to the Bills last week. Thaddeus Lewis working some magic late. Takes it into overtime. Bengals pull it out. Bengals don't look too good. However, I'm taking the Bengals
because
I'm not trusting the Lions D right now. I'm not trusting how healthy Calvin Johnson is going to be right now. Even though the Lions do play well at home, I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals. I like what I saw of the rookie Giovanni Bernard. Who are you taking?
I also agree here. We're agreeing a lot on these NFL slates here. I'm taking the 4-2 Bengals, even on the road. The Bengals are finding out ways to win, which is what a good team does. Andy Dalton's not going to blow you away with numbers. The Bengals aren't going to blow you away with statistics or numbers, but they find ways to win, which is what I think they'll do against the Lions.
Nice take. And then we'll move into the Bay Area matchup. 4-2 Niners at 3-3 Titans. Chops, what are you thinking?
I think this is a trap game for the Niners. I was tempted to take the Titans here, but I'm still going to side with the Niners. I feel like they're getting better each week, which is what you want to be doing in the NFL. And I think Kendall Hunter has been a nice backup to Frank Gore, so hopefully they keep spelling Frank Gore for some rest so he's better down the stretch.
Exactly. He cannot get worn down.
Yeah. So I'm taking the Niners in a close game on the road. How about you?
I was thinking serious trap game, almost to the point where I was going to take the Titans. Did a little research, and I was like, all right, Niners definitely getting some more depth back. I think that they'll be okay in a hostile environment. I'm going to take the Niners, but I would not be surprised if they're trailing in this game to a point where they got to work the comeback.
Yeah, good point. I also agree with that.
So we got next game as well. Now we can talk about the Texans who are at the Chiefs, but we'll go into a very sad moment
worst
for the
fans.
Houston Texan
fans.
Can they
get the worst fans in the NFL label?
Dude, first we got them burning jerseys. Then you got a nearby restaurant creating a pick six
burger. Minor offenses we found pretty funny.
Yeah.
But this next one's not funny
at
all.
And this just is terrible. Matt Schaub goes down, and if you see the replay,
it looked like a serious injury.
Yeah, serious injury to his ankle. And the fans start to clap and cheer, and it's definitely noticeable to where even the announcers were calling out the fans.
Yeah, and the players in the post-game interview were just livid on how mad they were with their own fans.
And that's the right stance. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you really that mad at Matt Schaub? You never wish injury upon anybody.
Especially something like that. Yeah, you cannot wish injury on your own quarterback even.
A quarterback they were riding last year.
They seemed very happy with him last year in the last two, three, 4 years.
But yeah, so yeah, Yates came in. He's not even going to get the start. Keenum will get the start. Who do you got? 2-4 Texans at the 6-0 Chiefs. Will the Chiefs get knocked off?
I'm taking the underdog in this one. I'm taking the 2-4 Texans on the road against the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are overrated, as I talked about earlier, and I think the Texans are just going to ride Arian Foster, which is what they started to do yesterday, but they got away from it again for some reason. Arian Foster put up 148 yards on the ground. He's still bringing it. Yeah. Keep feeding your horse.
Why not give it to him 35 a game? Make it a defensive ball game. Chew clock.
You have to start winning now, and I think that they're going to ride Foster.
I like that pick, and even though I'm very tempted to take it because it's a perfect spot for the Chiefs to lose this game, I'm going to take the Chiefs to go to 7-0 just because I'm not sure about Case Keenum at the helm right now. But. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's looking for his first win.
Yeah, and with Case Keenum, they're going to definitely need to hand off the ball because he's a new quarterback. You don't really trust him to throw those hard out routes to Andre Johnson or something. So I think they're going to run the ball, and I think it's going to be successful.
That's a good strategy, yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the 3-3 Ravens at the 1-4 Steelers. This could be a good game, too.
This is going to be another bruiser. It looks like it was setting up for a Ravens blowout early, but even though Steelers get the win against the Jets in the Big Apple, last week, Ravens have a knack for beating the Steelers at Heinz Field. And so I'm going to take the Ravens at 3-3 to go to 4-3. Who do you got?
The Ravens have been very inconsistent this year. They haven't really found an identity on offense. They don't know whether they're going to be a passing team or a running team because they've struggled with the run for some reason. I mean, you have Ray Rice. You cannot struggle with the run. That's hard to believe. I'm going to take the Ravens, though, even despite all that, because I think the Steelers are going to have another letdown game here. I mean, they're not that great. It's going to be a low-scoring, tight game. Field goal is going to matter here. I'm taking the Ravens. Ray Rice hopefully gets back on the board.
I think he will. He comes to play for these types of bruiser games. And that's going to lead us into the 3-3 Browns at the 3-2 Packers. Browns have been very, very surprising and played the Lions tight last week.
Yeah, I think the Browns are one of the more surprising teams in the NFL. We always knew they could play defense, but they're starting to finally get some offense, really. So I think this is a good going to be a good game. And I think that the Packers only win because they're at home. I'm thinking it's going to be a close game also. What do you think?
I got a bad feeling that the Packers go blowout city. Even though this doesn't seem like a game that would be a blowout with no Cobb and possibly no James Jones. Maybe James Jones is going to go. But I have a feeling that, I don't know, Cleveland just doesn't seem like they play well in Wisco with the cheeseheads.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Pack as well. We both got the Pack.
And then on the Sunday night game, we have the what I talked about in Grind My Gears. We have the 6-0 Broncos at the 4-2 Colts, who are throwing a celebration for Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning runs through this team.
Exactly.
It's going to be a celebration for him.
Yeah, you throw a celebration for the man before the game, there's no way he's going to lose.
He's gonna put up 50 points. He's not going to care either.
A wager might be coming from Chops. He's thinking Broncos drop 50.
Yeah, the Colts lost to the Chargers, who I also don't think are that great. Last week, I mean, the Colts are a decent team, but they're not going to hang with the Broncos. I think the Broncos move 7-0. How about you?
I agree. Broncos, Peyton Manning, until someone can find a way to at least slow this offense down, I got the Broncos. Even if they didn't play their tip-top game against the Jags, I don't think that affects them one bit.
Yeah.
And then move to the Monday night. Yeah.
You take it.
Okay.
I'm a nice guy.
It's not even a great game, so there's nothing big.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited about this one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess during the slate when the schedule is getting made, that they thought this was going to be a nice Monday night matchup. It's turned out to be a pitiful Monday night matchup. It's going to be the 1-4 Minnesota Vikings at the winless Giants.
You're talking about it. I mean, it's funny how like they predict these games to be like marquee matchups, and it's a 1-4 Vikings team with no Christian Ponder against the 0-6 Giants. Oh man, the Giants have been embarrassing on the field.
Yeah,
they can't protect Eli. Eli throws too many picks. I mean, there's so many things you could talk about. The defense does not look like it used to be elite, which it was, but now it's not at all.
Had to resort to getting Brandon Jacobs back for their run game.
The revival.
Jeez.
But anyways, despite all of that, everything I just laid out for you, I'm taking the 0-6 Giants. Call me crazy, call me maybe.
It's time for the Giants to get on the board.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Like, you have to think that it's going to happen soon enough, so maybe if I keep picking them, it might come to fruition.
I think this is the time. I mean,
you're taking them too?
Yeah, I'm going to take them too.
Yeah, I'm not so weird anymore.
Freeman is going to get the nod. For the Vikings,
Freeman.
And if people think this is the turnaround, it's not going to be this week.
Yeah.
1 week of preparation, yeah, he comes to the team and gets a previous week of that preparation. I don't think that's going to really help. Adrian Peterson right now is going through a very, very difficult time in his life.
He's an inspiration.
He could go off, but overall, I think the Giants playing the Bears close last week on Thursday Night Football, I think.
Bodes well.
With you, they get the W.
Yes, and that is
the first one.
And that's really our NFL slate here. We have only three differences this week, which I'm a little upset about, but that just maybe goes to show that these games could be not as entertaining. I mean, there's going to be some close calls that we kind of seem the same, but we don't match these schedules. We're not in the room together like, oh, I'll pick that. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting that we only had three differences. Hopefully I keep my lead of one game over Alex.
I'm liking the tight race, though.
Yeah.
I really will enjoy if this comes down to the final week and it's really tight.
I mean, hopefully next week I can come with some different teams and really pull away, but I mean, I like how it's tight, dude.
Yeah, all right.
And then, like we were talking about earlier, we do have a new segment coming up right here. We're not even going to go to a song break because we're so happy with this segment.
We have been dying to get to this segment.
It has really taken, it took 1 day to plan and to execute. So, I mean, it could be a little rocky, but I mean, I'm excited for this.
Me too. It's the debut.
It's the debut. It's the birth of our adopted child, as we were talking about earlier, who we love a little bit more than the rest of our children.
His name is Tink.
Tink.
That's going to be our robot interpreter, and this segment is called Read Between the Lines. This credit definitely goes to Chops. He comes to me with the idea last night. It's golden. We're able to execute it, like you said.
So, yes.
So, here we
go. I'll go further into this. Tink is our robot. He's an interpreter of NFL football players, of NHL players, MLB players, basically any sports team or anything he wants to talk about. Tink will give us a little ring and say, I want to go deeper into this.
The true interpreter here.
Yeah,
he's going to give you the real meaning about this.
Because you know how players will go into an interview and really just give you the basic answer, oh, we need to play better. It's my fault we lost.
It's almost scripted.
Yeah. I hear the same things every week, and Tink doesn't like that.
Tink's fed up, and so, he's ready to expose.
This week, he has four people going through his interpretation little, I don't know what to call it, like a little machine?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, it's a machine. It's a machine. And he has Vernon Davis, Terrell Pryor, Joe Pavelski, and Bob Melvin. What do you think of that lineup? Do you like what Tink?
I love the lineup. Okay. I love the choices that Tink was able to come up with, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to...
Hopefully you guys like Tink.
Yeah.
All right? Don't hate on him.
He's a personable guy. And here we go. I mean, first we're going to get into Vernon Davis. So, basically, Vernon Davis was asked what it felt like to finally have that connection with Kaepernick on the field. As we touched on earlier, he had 180 yards reception, 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, he was asked what it finally felt like to be in sync with Colin Kaepernick, because it seems like they hadn't been in sync before. So here's what he said.
It's just one of those days, like you said. It's when you're in the zone, it's like you're on a high, and you can't come down. You can't come down. It's a beautiful thing. He was able to find me several times, and you know, we started to click, and we were on the same page, because that's what it's about. It's about being on the same page. And just having that chemistry with your quarterback, it was beautiful.
So, yeah, that's what Vernon said. Sounds very scripted.
Very scripted.
Very.
He's almost fumbling on his words.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what he said. I mean, is there anything else you want to touch on that? Or
I just want to hear what Tink's got to say.
Yeah, Tink.
What do you really think, Tink?
This is his debut, so let's see what he thinks about that.
Finally, Kaepernick threw me the ball. He has been too busy modeling and showing off his body to build this chemistry on the field. So to answer your question, it's about bleeping time.
Dang, Tink, we forgot to warn you that Tink has a bad mouth.
Tink's got a little bit of a potty mouth, everybody.
We definitely have to censor him.
Yeah.
But that's basically what Tink said. It's so true. What do you think about that?
He said it's about time. I mean, Caps found Vernon, but he finally really connected with him. And maybe it's because of the way the Niners are using Vernon now, but I think if Vernon really needed to say something to get it off his chest, Tink hit it on the knob.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I also agree. Because, I mean, we've basically just seen Crabtree and Bolden only have big games, and finally Vernon Davis was in the loop for a big game. And I just feel like Vernon Davis was an elite tight end about 2 to 3 years ago. So it's about time that they finally got him back in the game, and it's good that they have chemistry now. So thanks for that, Tink.
All right. So now Tink's going to bring to the table a Terrell Pryor comment about the playoffs. He was asked how to get this team back on track, and this is what Terrell Pryor said.
Togetherness and on the offensive line, you know, running back perspective, receivers, we got to come together. We got to start creating, and we'll be back. 2-4, get the playoffs.
We'll get the playoffs.
He basically just lays it out right there.
We'll get the playoffs.
With,
I don't know if you call that playing. We'll get to playoffs. I don't know if he believes it. To tell you the truth, what do you think he believes it?
I think right after he said that statement, he's probably like, "Oh man,
yeah,
I don't know about that."
That's all anyone's talking about. We'll get to playoffs.
Yeah. I love how you're breaking it down. I mean,
Tink also aims on the side that we do. He's like, "Why did Terrell Pryor even bring that up with so much like?"
Not, other issues going on.
Yeah, and not even convincing. Like, we'll get to playoffs is not convincing. It's like, oh, we'll be back. We're going to get this. I don't even know if Terrell Pryor believes it, so let's see what Tink has to say.
Honestly, our offense is horrible. How do I, of all quarterbacks, get sacked 10 times, almost an NFL record? How can we get back on track? That's a simple answer, by making sure I'm not on the ground. I can't wait till next season when we have people who can actually block for me.
Well said. Well said.
Tink's just nailing them today.
I mean, they do need a better offensive line. They need someone who could block.
Stay healthy.
And Tink obviously understands Terrell Pryor's pain. How do you get sacked 10 times when you're a running quarterback? And it wasn't like he was like running into sacks. He was trying to run away from them. They were just getting freaking chopped down.
And like the interview, the post-game interview, Pryor wasn't throwing anybody under the bus, none of that. But you kind of could tell like he was a little fed up with the line.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And then he drops a playoff comment.
Yeah. We'll get to playoffs.
I was waiting for it.
So here we go. We're going to Tink's third victim, if you want to say. and it has to do with some hockey. Have you been catching up on any hockey?
Yeah, and this was ridiculous.
It's uncalled for. So the Sharks are undefeated, as many may know, and
Dan Boyle went off on a stretcher.
Yeah, because of an illegal hit by Maxime LaPierre.
Straight cross check into his back. Blindside.
Yeah, at least he got the huge penalty that he deserved, but I mean, some suspension's got to come down for this hit. Yeah. I mean, it was totally illegal.
Players were irate after the game.
Yeah, and you could definitely tell, like, right when that happened, Sharks came after him. They were on fire, started some fights. It definitely got the Sharks going, but you never want to see this. So, I mean,
Not at all.
Definitely took a fault to this. And then Joe Pavelski was asked how he thought the team handled the loss of Dan Boyle, and this is really what he said.
Doesn't matter who it is when they go down like that. It's scary. You know, it's a wake-up call in a lot of ways. Things like that happen, especially when idiots are idiots out there. It's Dan's world-class defenseman. It's straight numbers. There's guys in the league that'll target that. It doesn't matter. They'll just go.
Yeah, you see how frustrated he is. I'd be frustrated, too. Idiots are idiots.
Couldn't have summed it up any better.
Yeah, I mean, the hit was just totally uncalled for, like we're saying, just straight, he saw numbers, knocked him out, and they were talking about how Maxime LaPierre is just a guy known for this, really, which kind of sucks, because, I mean, it's just sad to see a player go off on a stretcher when you really don't even, that doesn't not need to happen.
Oh, yeah. It was nice to see the Sharks get the W. If you haven't seen this hit, you can check it out on YouTube. You can just type in Maxime LaPierre's hit on Dan Boyle. I'm sure you'll find it, because it was just a dirty hit, but
yeah.
That's what Tink had to say.
Bleep, 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 that bleeping Canadian. I don't know what type of hockey Maxime LaPierre plays, but that's not how the game is supposed to be played. He deserves at least a 10-game suspension. Idiots will be idiots, and he deserves what he has coming to him.
Well said. He obviously Tink's did not heated. Like that hit. Yeah, that's about as heated as Tink can get. You heard the tone of his voice. It sounded non-robot.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's just unprofessional from Maxime LaPierre, and Tink also agrees with us.
Oh, yeah.
And our last candidate for Tink's interpretations is Bob Melvin. So Bob Melvin was questioned on how agonizing this game felt, Game 5, and how very little they could do to get Verlander off his game. Do you have any comments about that just before we play Bob Melvin's soundbite?
I just can't stand Verlander.
I can't stand Verlander either. So something, I feel like Tink also can't stand Verlander. So I mean, we'll see.
We got that impression.
Yeah, we'll see what Melvin has to say here real quick, and then we'll get into what Tink thinks.
I'm not frustrated for me. I mean, our guys are frustrated with the way the game went and some of the at-bats. But, you know, again, you still have a lot to be proud of. We expected to go a little farther than this year. But at the end of the day, we did have a great season, and a little more disappointing this year, certainly, than it was last year.
Yeah, Bob Melvin's...
He was holding the back.
Yeah, he's a consummate pro coach. Like, he's not going to give away any, like, newsworthy
He's interviews. A class act, though. I love Melvin.
So, I mean... Whoa, that was a little jumpy.
Tink, too early.
He feels very excited.
He's ready.
Yeah. Anyways, let me talk a little, Tink, before you just interrupt like that. Rude of you. Anyways,
come on, Tink.
Yeah, Melvin's going to sugarcoat it because you know how much this loss hurt. I mean, two game fives in a row, back-to-back years.
Same pitcher.
You get shut out by Verlander. My hate and disrespect, not disrespect because Verlander.
Your hate and rage.
Let's just keep hate and rage. Good words. Hate and rage for Verlander is hit an all-time high. I don't think it can get any higher, but that's what I thought last year, and this year it definitely topped it. I can't stand Verlander or the Tigers for that fact.
Okay. Can we talk about what in the world kind of dance they were doing after the game?
Oh, man.
Like, I've seen something similar to this at the program of Hawaii.
Yeah.
They do this as, like, an actual ritual. This is their tradition. But when I saw the Tigers run out near the pitching mound and start doing this dance, it wasn't even a dance. I don't even know what we can call this. But this, it was like they're firing their hands from their quads to their on top of their head real quick and yelling.
Yeah.
And screaming, and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It's something you see in, like, rugby or, like, from Hawaii. But at least they didn't jump in our pool like they did, like the Dodgers did to the Cardinals.
Yeah,
our sewage pool. I mean, So, I mean, it was disrespectful, but again, it's the Tigers. They just won a big game. I don't like them. So,
I don't like him. Tink doesn't like him. Here you go.
Tink, you can finally start now instead of being rude.
This sucks. 2 years in a row, the Motor City Kitties throw out Kate Upton's ex-boyfriend, and for some reason we can't hit it. He is my least favorite person in the world, and I hope he gives up 3 home runs again to another chubby ball player, like Big Pappy or something.
Couldn't have said it better.
Dang, Tink.
That's basically what I want to say.
I'll fill in a little for Tink. Bleeping Verlander.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part.
Bleeping Verlander.
Here, let's see if we can cut to that real quick. I mean, just, bleeping Verlander was the best part of that. Let's see.
Kitties throw out Kate Upton's ex-boyfriend. I'm not going to cut it off this time. And for some reason, we can't hit it. He is my least favorite person in the world, and I hope he gives up 3 home runs again to another chubby ball player, like Big Pappy or something. Bleeping Verlander.
Okay, sorry I cut that off.
That was the best part.
Everyone, that was my bad. Anyways, yes, Bleeping Verlander.
That sums it up.
That's all he could have said.
That's all, exactly
been fine.
2 words. He could have walked off.
Yeah, he could have just done a walk-off homer, just Bleeping Verlander.
That's all he had to say.
Yeah.
But he kept it classy. Melvin's a classy guy.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he did. Okay, good thinking. So that's but, Tink, basically.
Yeah, that's our new segment. I hope you guys like it.
Yeah, give us some feedback on Facebook, facebook.com/sportsrelative, or search Penguin Radio yep. Sports Relative. You're listening to Chops and Tie at radio.dominican.edu. And when we come back, we're going to give you a little Chops and Tie top 5 and 1 huge question debate that we have.
Great question.
Yeah, so we only have 30 minutes left, so make sure you stay tuned. And this is Sports Relative with Chops and Tie.
It's that time of year again, folks. Soul Candy 2013 Dominican Student Performance Arts Show. Killer music, rap, performance poetry, dance, and cutting-edge performance, all by Dominican students. Join me, LC, and catch these knockout performances Wednesday, October 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. in Angelico Hall. Be there or be square.
You know what?
Yeah, that's our ever-talented DJ who's after us, DJ LC.
You can check out probably the best show. Check out LC's show after us at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, too. I believe she goes to 9. Yeah. Sometimes she goes to 8.
It's called Tinsel Talk.
Yeah, it's about celebrities and her different views on them. So, yeah, that's DJ LC.
She put that together, too.
Yeah. And that's, of course, promoting Soul Candy 9, which we talked about a little bit earlier. Make sure you check that out.
If you're on campus, get out there, Angelico Hall. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a great, great night.
Yeah. And then sidewinding off that, we do have one key question here that we want to debate for the end of our show, since we only have 30 minutes left, sadly. The one question that I think it's definitely a good question. It evokes so much emotion here.
It does.
And the question is, so for all your listeners out there, you can play along with us, see who you'd take. This is Chops and Ty. You're listening to Sports Relative at radio.dominican.edu. If you had one Bay Area athlete who could stay on their current team for their whole career, who would you choose and why?
Just going for Bay Area.
Yes, just Bay Area.
Names come into mind. You got Buster Posey.
Yes.
Kaner with him. I mean, Steph Curry
from the Warriors. Yes, that's a very good one. We have Sonny Gray and Yoenis Cespedes from the A's. We have Ninja Hurdle.
Yeah, dude. Tomas Hurdle.
If you haven't heard of him,
he's a phenom.
He is a 19-year-old, barely can speak English hockey player for the Sharks, and he's putting up crazy numbers, leads the team in goals. I think he leads the league in goals.
Dude, yeah, he had 6 goals in 8.5 periods.
Yeah, the guy.
If you watch SportsCenter, you would have seen him. He put in a magnificent goal against the Blues.
I put that on our Facebook page, the one around the back.
That's a nux right there to Chops.
Yeah, so from the Sharks, we have Tomas Hurdle and Logan Couture, who's been probably their best player the last 2 years. And then you want to take away the two football players that we have listed?
We got Patrick Willis, and then we're going to throw in Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, so, I mean, we just wanted to list all those players who come to mind just off the bat.
We just got to pick one, though.
Yeah, just talk. I mean, it's hard just to choose one. One player who you'd want to stay on their current team for the rest of their career.
And there might be more candidates that you could come up with,
this
too.
This is just a tough short list to come up with.
I'd take right now Patrick Willis.
Patrick Willis.
Linebackers from the Niners.
You take him for the rest of the career?
Rest of the career. Reasons why. This man has made a Pro Bowl every single season. He stepped on the field for the Niners. That's showing consistency at its best. And not only is he a great role model on and off the field, he's a leader. I mean, he completely leads that defense. He's rallying the troops with his pep talks every game, before the game. I like Patrick Willis. I'd love to see him in a Niners uniform for the rest of his career, retire his jersey, send him into the Hall of Fame, because I think that's where he's going.
That's a good choice. So would you make a case for Colin Kaepernick?
Right now, I would not make a case for Colin Kaepernick. The hype for Cap is too high right now. If he was elite, he'd be putting up numbers with the receiver he's had. That's what elite quarterbacks do. They adjust. They get receivers in their system with the correct tandem, and they just start going. Like Brady, he had Edelman, Tompkins, and Dobson. That's his three main.
Yeah.
With no Gronk.
Yeah.
With LeGarrette Blunt and
Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, exactly. Stephen Ridley. There is no starting offensive weapons with that, and yet he led him to 4-0.
That's true.
If you're elite, you get it done like that. Cap is just not there yet, but he's only in his second year, first full season. He could get there, not right now. Who's your player?
I'm not going to get into that just yet. I'm going to talk about one player who is very close. I'll talk about two players who are very close eventually, but here's the first one. I was thinking Terrell Pryor, but I didn't choose him, but I think I was thinking about Terrell Pryor because he's working his way towards being the franchise quarterback of the Oakland Raiders, so I mean, you always want to keep...
Well-deserved. I think he is.
Yeah, you always want to keep the franchise quarterback on the team for the rest of their career, so I mean, that is definitely a name that popped to mind. And it would be Al Davis's last draft pick before he passed away. So it's like the continuing legacy of Al Davis. You know, it's just a good storyline. But I don't know if he can beat out these other guys for if I'd want to. You know, it just
this list is tough for him to beat out.
Too inconsistent right now, but I mean that's because he's young. I mean, there's so many pros and cons to this. It's a risky pick if you want him to stay, because you don't know if he's going to improve. You don't know if he's going to be that franchise quarterback. So, I mean, the risk was too high. But, I mean, I did think about it, having Terrell Pryor, the dual-threat quarterback.
He's the future, so I could see why.
Yeah, and hopefully they stick with him, because that's what the Raiders need. They need some continuity. We keep changing coaches, changing.
I think you guys are on the right path. You're going to see the Raiders hop in the playoffs sooner or later.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And it's probably going to be Pryor as the guy.
Yeah.
I like that take.
Yeah.
And but that's not your final take.
Another guy I want to talk about that none of us chose is Buster Posey. He's probably one of the more deserved players of this.
He's my second.
Yeah, he's your second. Well,
there's no second, but if I had to, yeah.
Just kidding. Buster Posey.
He's worthy.
Yeah, he's a very, very good catcher, as everyone knows, which is a tough position to fill usually. He could hit infield. You don't normally see that from the catching position. You only get one or the other usually. He's been a team leader. He's quiet. He does everything.
World Series as a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, just that shows his leadership.
He does everything by the book. He's a consummate pro. As you were talking about, Patrick Willis is a consummate pro. So is Buster Posey. So, I mean, that's also another guy who probably Giants fans want to see in the black and orange for the rest of their career.
Oh, yeah. You remember when he got ran over, just bulldozed,
that's hard
broke his ankle?
That's tough to forget, and I guess.
He forgives this guy.
Yeah.
He said it's not a dirty play. He was going in hard.
Yeah. I mean,
99% of the catchers are looking at this guy and saying, all right, hey, you, next time you're on the mound, I want you to go at his head. But Buster Posey, class that guy, nice.
Do you have any other ones? You want to talk about Steph Curry maybe?
Oh,
we haven't done any Warriors talk.
I mean, he's going to be huge. I was going to go, we'll get into this Curry in a minute. I was going to go Logan Couture. Because, man, he's phenomenal. I really liked him last year too, and combining him with Hurdle now, Sharks are potent on offense.
The way the Sharks look right now, I don't know if they're beatable.
Dude, this happens though every year.
That's
they start so good.
That's true.
They get into the playoffs and they choke.
Yeah.
Is this the year?
That's what
but
we
they
always
do.
Yeah.
Like you said, they do look unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting up almost 50 shots a game. They're like 42.
Oh,
I mean, they're swarming to the puck. They are relentless. Niemi looks to be the goaltender they need. I mean, the Sharks look pretty unstoppable right now. We'll have to see, like what you said, if they can keep this going, sustain it through the playoffs. But, I mean, that's a good pick.
Yeah, got Calgary coming in tomorrow and keep the undefeated streak alive. But going back to Steph Curry, when he is healthy, oh, my, he lights up Oracle by himself. His range is infinite. I'm saying infinite because if he teed one up from the opposite baseline, it might go in.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's a slight chance that might go in.
He's a pure shooter, and it's not as just his shot. His floater from his handles comes off screen so well. He catches the ball, and he's square to the basket. Steph Curry can ball.
And he's the guy that the Warriors are going to depend on to build that team. Him and
very true.
Yeah, Klay Thompson's kind of.
Dude, he's big.
Yeah,
he's a big piece.
He's a big player.
Not nothing to Curry caliber,
though. Yeah, I wouldn't choose him to build over Curry, but Klay Thompson's actually improving his game. Hopefully he makes a little bit more layups, get with that jump shot. But I think the Warriors are definitely building something special.
We'll start bringing in more Warriors talk once the season approaches. It's coming up.
Yeah, 12 days I think it is till the NBA starts. Yeah,
Warriors are big expectations.
So my one Bay Area athlete who I would choose comes from the Oakland Athletics. And it's Yoenis Cespedes. I feel like it's hard to top this guy and what he means to the A's and what he does for that lineup. Even when he wasn't hitting good in the beginning of the season, he struck fear in the opponent, which the A's offense doesn't really have. So
he's
Yeah, and he plays an outstanding left field. So only if he could stay healthy, too. One more thing that I want to improve with Yoenis Cespedes is his base running. He seems a little lost in the base running category.
A little lost on the pads.
Yeah, he's the guy that. And plus, if he's staying with the Athletics for the rest of his career, that means the A's are shelling out some money finally.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign.
And I think he's worthy. Keep it healthy, Cesp, and you're worthy. Definitely. I like it. And I was going to ask you, is he best left fielder right now defensively in the AL?
That's a good question.
Like, does anyone have a cannon than he?
Yeah,
he
runs
reminds
well,
me of Vlad.
And he has the cannon to go with it.
And
I don't know.
You
off the
can't
top
get
of my
a
head,
fastball by him.
Off the top of my head, I'd have to say yes. I mean, I have
that's,
to do
that's
some.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'd have to do some research to like prove that wrong. But the way Cespedes fields is unbelievable, and if he can come back, like the way he played in the playoffs was truly amazing. Considering
coming off his injury.
Yeah, considering the injury and the way he was playing coming up to that, leading up to that, I feel like Jonas Cespedes is the guy that I would want to have on the A's for the rest of his career.
Retire.
Yeah. What, do you think Sonny Gray, the rookie playoff standout, what do you think about him?
I'd love to see Sonny Gray, but I don't want to slap that tag on him just yet, just because he's got a long, long career to go. But right now, his upside looks so, so good. I mean, even if the A's do lose Colon to free agency, he's going to be the guy that could step in and
he's potentially looking at the ace. He's potentially looking at the ace of the A's staff.
If you're going to throw him game five, you better make him the ace. Yeah. If you don't get Colon back, that's all hypothetical.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the A's get Colon back.
Yeah.
They can work on a 2-year deal maybe. He says he's got 3 more years left. I don't know.
Oh, Colon?
Yeah, Colon's claimed he had 3 more years left.
Colon is on his way out of Major League Baseball. If he goes anywhere other than Oakland, I see him having a horrible year. The way
he
pitched towards the end of the year, like disregarding the playoffs, he pitched decently in that game one start. He gave 3 runs in the first inning, but then he shut it down. Yeah. But, I mean, he had dead arm complaining. That's what comes when you're old and big like Bartolo, the Colon is.
The transfusions, Colon. Yeah. He needs more transfusions.
So, I mean, I think Sonny Gray can step into that ace role, and maybe if we ask this question next year, I might say Sonny Gray instead of Yoenis Cespedes. I mean, that's the kind of player he could be.
What happens if you see Sonny Gray touch 18 or 19 wins like Colon did? Ace, don't miss a beat.
Ooh.
Are you throwing Sonny Gray in it?
Yeah. Because that means he's the ace role.
Yeah.
And
he's getting Cy Young recognition if he does that. Yeah. That's just complete speculation, but he's got huge upside.
Yeah.
Many of you have seen him pitch. He's got gas.
Yeah. So we're going to go into a little truth or trash here and make it a little quick so we can fit it in here and then do our top five. So we got a packed last 15 minutes of the show. Do you want to start us off with the truth or trash? Or do you want me to?
Go for it. Go for it. Okay. You can start us off.
You're such a gentleman. Such a gentleman.
Thank you, sir.
So this is regarding off-season talk, which we'll get in more to next week. But we want to just
off-season edition.
Yeah, it's kind of just like a little preview of what we're going to be showing next week. So a little off-season baseball talk here with Truth or Trash. And the first question is, both Bay Area baseball teams will have an improved win-loss record next season. What's your thought on that, Truth or Trash?
Right now, I'm going truth. Oakland.
That's the fact, Jack!
I almost forgot about the sound.
I forgot about the fact, Jack. Thank you. Oakland was 96 and 66. San Francisco was 76 and 86. So it would be hard for Oakland to top their record. I think they do it by a game. I think they hit 97. Granted, the Angels are going to be coming harder next year, too, so I'll make that division a little bit difficult, a little more difficult. San Francisco, I think they get above 500 definitely this time. I think they'll be on the rebound over 76 wins. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the question here is whether the A's can do it, because I feel like the Giants will definitely improve on that 76 win record. But, I mean, when you look at it, the A's have no gaping holes in their roster coming towards free agency and looking towards the start of the 2014 season. So, as an A's fan, I'm thinking that they do. I'm going to say truth on this, that they do have a better record.
That's the fact, Jack!
Because when you think about it, they played well. They were consistent all year. I think they matched that. And I'm saying maybe 97, 98 wins, which is more than what they had last year. So I'm going to slap a truth on that.
Yeah. I mean, you're leading the league in AL wins right now if they touch that. So that'd be a fantastic season. We'll move on to the second question. And it's going to regard Bartolo Colon. And would the loss of Bartolo Colon make the A's pitching staff from one of the best in the league to just simply average? Mike, excuse me, Chops.
it's
take
tough.
It away.
It's tough to get that DJ name in because we have like alter egos with this.
I know.
Anyways. Okay, so the question is, the loss of Bartolo Colon would take the A's pitching staff from one of the best in the league to simply average? That's a good question because you're losing probably the number 4 or 5 candidate for Cy Young this year. So, I mean, you're taking away probably the best pitcher the A's had this year. So, I mean, it's hard to think that they would get better, but I think that the depth of the A's pitching staff, you have Griffin, Malone, Straley, Gray, Parker, Anderson. That's 6 guys right there who I feel are serviceable pitchers. So I feel like they're still going to stay atop the AL pitching ranks. So I'm going to say trash.
Way off. I say you're way off this time, son.
You're way off.
How about you?
I'm agreeing, trash. For all those names you just mentioned right there, they got arms.
You're way off. I say you're way off.
You keep jumping the gun.
I keep jumping
the
gun.
You're like Tink.
Yeah, I know.
Gosh.
Me and Tink.
Anyways, get into your explanation, please.
Like you said, they got arms, and they got some depth with the staff. So it's not going to be a huge loss if Cologne doesn't get re-signed. It's going to look bad if they don't re-sign him just based off the numbers he posted this season. But we touched on this about a couple minutes ago. Sonny Gray is the future. They got Parker. Right there, 1-2 combo, you're good. Griffin just got to work on giving up the long balls, but he's had his games where he's really good too.
Yeah.
So, and Malone, he's filled in.
If we take away the long ball, Griffin's been a very good pitcher.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point.
I'm going to say trash and agree with you there.
Alrighty. For our next question, we have the Giants will re-sign Timmy Lincecum. This is probably the hot topic, burning question for the Giants this offseason. Do you think that they sign Timmy Lincecum?
I will not jump the gun this time, but I'm going to say truth.
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack. And I think they re-sign him, and I think Timmy comes to his senses that he can't ask for starter, number one or two starter money.
Yeah.
I think he realizes that I'm 29, I'm almost 30. I have two-time Cy Young winner that gives me credibility to have a nice contract, but if he's asking for too much, Giants are probably going to part ways. However, I don't think he asked for too much because with the team chemistry he's got here and the camaraderie with the pitching staff, I think he'd like to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been winning.
He definitely wants to stay, but the reason that I'm going to slap a trash on this one...
You're way off. I say you're way off this time.
...is because he's not going to come to his senses. He's going to get that money from Seattle or from a team that's desperate of pitchers. So I feel
and
like
Bolt.
Yeah, he's gonna leave for the money for sure, and I don't think the Giants are willing to offer that kind of money for a number 4 or 5 starter when they could probably get two guys who could do the same job he can when they need pitching depth. So
don't do it, Timmy.
Yeah, I'm gonna say trash on that one.
I like it. All right. Moving on. A's again. The A's number one prospect. He's 19 years old, Addison Russell. This guy's a phenom shortstop. He's getting near Harper hype. You guys are familiar with Bryce Harper. This guy is good. And my question to you, Chops, is will he be playing in the majors at some point next year?
You make a good point. He's not getting Harper hype because he's on the A's. But, I mean, he is definitely within the A's organization, their best prospect, the guy that they're looking forward to play shortstop for a long time. So I'm going to slap a truth on that one.
That's the fact, Jack!
I believe he plays this year, probably during September call-ups. The question was whether or not that Addison Russell would be playing in the majors at some point this year. I feel like he has to get his feet wet this year at least. So if the A's are playing well and they could afford to bring up a rookie like Addison Russell during September call-ups, get him introduced to the major league level, I feel like that'll be beneficial. So I'm going to say truth here. Addison Russell is definitely the future of the A's shortstop.
Definitely agree. I'm going to go truth here as well.
That's the fact, Jack!
And reason why is this guy can run, and he fields really well. So if you add another aspect of speed in the A's lineup, that really helps. If Sogard starts playing...
That's a very good point.
Yeah,
they need speed.
Yeah, so I thought maybe that could help him. I mean, when Jamile Weeks was playing for a little bit at second, he was helping him out in the past.
Yeah.
No more Jamile right now, but Addison Russell... I think he's going to get called up. I don't know if it's going to be because Sogard is struggling and they want to move Lowry to second and bring him in, or like you said, if it's just getting his feet wet, because he's good enough. They're starting him out at AA this year, and I think he could get the call up.
Yeah, good point. And then our last truth or trash question has to do with the Giants, and this is kind of looking towards the end of the season, the 2014 season. Will the Giants return back to the top spot of the NL West next season? It is an even-numbered year.
It's their lucky year, maybe.
And we know how the Giants are. The last two even-numbered years, they have been World Series champs. So what's your thought on this one?
Do they do it again? I say they do not top the NL West spot right now.
You're way off. I say you're way off.
And that's coming from a Giants fan.
Yeah, coming from a Giants fan. And
why do you think
the reason why? Dodgers have so much cap. Actually, excuse me, money. There is no cap in baseball.
Kaepernick. Thomas Kaepernick.
They have so much coin, and it's getting a little ridiculous, and they're going to field pretty much that same roster and with a healthy Matt Kemp. So it's going to be very, very difficult for the Giants to top them in the division. However, I think they will be close and get a wild card spot.
Okay, so,
I think they're getting in the playoffs, just they're not going to win the division.
Are you calling wild card one or wild card two?
I'm going to go wild card two.
Ooh, on the road.
On the road.
Okay. I mean, that's a good point. I think that the Giants will bounce back. They're going to stay healthy this year, hopefully. Pagan will be back. They re-signed Pence. I think that they're going to sign a left fielder. They better sign a left fielder and a starter. I mean, with the combination of that, they have a good core. Bumgarner.
Kaner.
Yeah, Kaner, Posey. There's just guys that the Giants won the World Series with Pablo. Okay, how can we forget about Pablo?
Yeah.
That they won the World Series with that I think will come through. So I'm going to go with the truth. I think they beat the Dodgers in a close race.
That's the fact, Jack!
And that's really all I have to say about that. I mean, it's going to be a close race, though, like you said. Hopefully the Giants return to the way they were playing the last couple of years, not last year.
But we'll see any offseason moves. That's going to be big.
Yeah, injuries, bullpen. Lack of bullpen support was horrible this year. And the lack of starter depth was horrible.
Zero.
I can't see that happening twice in a row. And they will draft, not draft, they will pick up players who can maybe hit the ball this year. So, I mean, they have
there
the money
to spend. Zero clutch hits. I mean, zero just clutch moments that mattered. I mean, obviously they had clutch moments. They had some walk-offs. But when the Giants needed the big hit, or especially from the bullpen, the big out, it was not there this year at all. Yeah. And it costed them.
Yeah. So that's basically all we have for Truth or Trash. And we have 8 minutes left here at radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to Sports Relative with DJ Chops and DJ Ty. We have Chops and Ty's top five. Last week we did most obscure / funny college mascots, and we came up with some great ones.
That was awesome.
This one's not going to be probably as funny.
A little more sentimental value, though, because I bet a lot of you have seen these movies.
Yeah, this is our top five for this week is top five favorite sports movies. And just start this segment off, we have honorable mentions because there's so many good sports movies.
Way too many good to just get a top five.
Yeah, so we added six sports movies who easily could have made number five.
Like
on
you
our
said,
list.
They could have been just a top five in general.
Yeah. So here's the list. I'm gonna start off with the first one. We Are Marshall, inspirational, touching movie.
Plane crash.
If you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. That's a great movie.
I'll make you honorable mention. Tear jerk a little bit. Another honorable mention, Major League. I was a big fan of that one when I first saw it back in the day.
It's always on TV, so it's easy to catch.
It's always getting played.
Yeah. And then the one after that, we have Field of Dreams. If you love baseball, you'll definitely love this movie. Yes, classic sports movie. Had to be mentioned on our honorable mention.
And then we had The Fighter.
Most people don't know this movie. Yeah.
Boxing movie. Great, great movie.
Very good.
Had a good storyline outside of the boxing ring, too, not only in.
Yeah. And then one
that... Can't forget this one.
I don't even know how I forgot it on my list. We were looking for honorable mention, and we found it. We're like, oh, man.
But dang.
The Miracle, which is called Miracle. But
Miracle.
The story of USA Hockey pulling a monumental upset.
And it's a true story.
It's a true story. That's what makes it even better.
Doesn't
Mike
Rizzioni. Better.
Rizzioni.
Rizzioni.
And then we have one more. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's kind of a new movie, but 42, the story of Jackie Robinson. It's a great movie. Go catch that one on The Red B or on demand.
I like that. You go in Redbox, Red B, call it Red B.
Definitely.
All right.
$1.23.
I need to start hopping on that.
You do. You
man.
That's what
I
use now.
The Red B, everybody.
The Red B. I'm just promoting Redbox here. But yeah, that's basically our honorable mention. And Alec, Ty, give us your top five.
All right. I'm going to start with number five. And this movie I saw back in the day, probably late middle school, but I was so inspired. Coach Carter, gotta love it. Favorite character, Junior Battle. And number four, going with another classic. I think everybody's gotta love this movie, The Sandlot.
The Sandlot? Oh, God, that's such a great pick. Everyone knows that song, too.
Oh, I know. If this randomly started playing in like a movie theater or, I don't know, a pizza shop, people would be grooving. They know it.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you'd probably be the only awkward one just kind of sitting there.
Yeah. So that's number four on your list?
That's number four on my list. Number three, Rudy. Great story.
Rudy.
I loved that. I loved the ending.
Yeah, I think that's the reason I became a Notre Dame football fan was because of the movie Rudy.
That's inspirational.
Yeah, my dad loves that movie. We cry every time. It's such a great movie.
Dude, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. Good choice for number three.
Number two, Caddyshack. I love it.
I can't take that movie seriously. It's so funny.
I know.
It's so funny.
It's so funny, but I love Caddyshack.
Such a good choice. What's number one? Oh, this is interesting.
Number one, for me, it's hands down. I love this movie. I could watch it over and over. Remember the Titans.
Ooh.
Adrenaline flows every time I watch Denzel.
That's a great movie. Denzel's a great actor, first off. He did a great job. And then Hayden Panettiere was in that movie. I don't know if any of you guys know that. She used to be my celebrity crush. But she was like seven or something in that movie. So it's a little creepy saying that.
Hey.
Just for all my listeners out there who didn't know that about me.
Chop's got the celebrity crush, everybody.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's pretty funny.
And we'll move on to your top five, baby.
Yes. So number five, I had to include Moneyball. Story about the A's and their great run to basically to playoff failure. But anyways, great movie. It was a great book if you haven't read it.
Even better book,
I'd say. Yeah, exactly. Wait, well put. Better book, great movie. Definitely watch it. Story about the A's and how they are cheap but still win games, basically.
Find a way using to win games using the win streak, baby.
Using math and science and a different combination of things. Number four, another baseball movie. That's a trend through my list.
He played ball, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably why I was favored towards the baseball movies. But number four is The Rookie with Dennis Quaid. Great family movie. Great movie about a high school coach becoming a pro, a major league reliever for the Rays. Definitely go catch that one if you haven't heard about it. Number three, I had to side with Sandlot. It's pretty low for one of the best baseball movies of all time. But number three...
A lot of people put it number one.
Yeah. I mean, Sandlot, great movie. God, there's so
childhood classic.
So many quotable lines. Definitely easy on the top five there. Number two. This one's a little surprising for the listeners out there, but I don't think the listeners know how much DJ Chops loves this movie. I mean, I had it on VHS, and I would play it almost weekly. It's D2 Mighty Ducks, specifically D2 when they're in the Olympics. None of it is true or even feasible to be true now watching it, but I still find myself watching it and enjoying it.
Flying V.
The Flying V, the Knuckle Puck. Oh, they're so... Oh. Don't even get me started. I love that movie.
I bet a lot of you saw that when you're a kid and you fell in love.
And it's a Disney movie. That's what makes it even better. A Disney movie.
The series was good.
Yeah. And then...
This is a great number one, too.
Number one, my favorite movie, have it on DVD at home, Friday Night Lights.
Love it.
The Permian Panthers, Booby Miles.
James Booby Miles.
Yes. Oh, that's a great movie. It's usually on TV, too, so definitely catch that one if you haven't. It's probably the best football movie for me, at least. Remember, the Titans is a great movie. But Friday Night Lights.
Realistic, too.
Emotional. At my high school, my baseball buddies, we used to compare our preseason to Friday Night Lights and how we'd be walking through the gate. Yeah. I don't know.
Man,
it's just,
all right.
This is a great movie.
Oh, no, sweet.
That's a great movie.
It is, man.
I want to go to Texas and you know how they still have like the board of the Panthers. And,
yeah.
Oh, God, that would be nice. It's just a great movie. There's so many things that I could say about that movie.
Me too.
Like, oh, man.
Friday Night Lights.
Catch it. Catch it on Red B.
That's wrapping up our top five. We're going to be bringing you our top five of something, some kind of category of this segment each week.
Yeah,
we find good topics to talk about.
Usually funny, but this
one's
a nice
ender.
Yeah, a little more serious. Definitely caps off our show, gives our listeners a little insight as to what we feel and how we rate things. So, but definitely, if you have any suggestions for top five,
drop it on the page.
Yeah, hit our Facebook page one more time. It's facebook.com/sportsrelative. Or you can search in the search bar, Penguin Radio's Sports Relative. So, yes, you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. Make sure to catch DJ LC's show, Tinsel Talk, at 7 tonight. This is DJ Chops and DJ Ty, and thanks for tuning in. Make sure you come in next week.
Stay classy, my friends.
Stay classy. You're the reason.